Brock and Lisa, just to give them a short introduction here so I don't take much time from them. They just finished their first term with Mission Aviation Fellowship in Indonesia. Brock is the regional director for Indonesia, and they're going to tell you about both their ministries when they come up here in a second. That followed a career in the Air Force, which included time at Laughlin Air Force Base, as well as, and we're excited about this part, Del Rio Bible Church. And we were excited to have them in Del Rio Bible Church at that time. And God's just worked in their lives, done just magnificent things. And we're excited to have them here today to share with you what God is doing. So please welcome Brock and Lisa Larson. Give them a big round of applause.
Good morning. We are thrilled to be back here. We were stationed here in Del Rio from about 2002 to about 2005. Had our children in the Awanas program, and we helped lead. And I went on a mission trip with the middle schoolers through DRBC, and we just have such incredibly fond memories of our time here. The last time that I was here in DRBC, we were speaking and letting you all know what God was calling us to, and we had yet to go overseas. And so it's pretty surreal to be back at the end of our first term, having an opportunity to share with you what the last 3.5 years in Indonesia has been like. So we are very excited. Thank you very much for your partnership. This church, we are supported every month by this church, and several individual families are supporters of ours, and so we thank you for that, and the prayers that are lifted on our behalf are felt. I just need you to know that has been an incredible experience that we had no idea, and as God has called us to some difficult things there, we are just sustained spiritually, and we know it is by your faithful prayer support. So thank you for that. As you might imagine, we live in the tropics, and when we decided our furlough was going to be in the winter months, we decided we would get down south as fast as we could, where it would be nice and warm. And I don't know what happened. Anyway, so we're both fighting colds a little bit, so I'm just going to let Brock share this morning. But thank you very much for your warm hospitality.
Well, good morning. Before I forget, I forgot this in the first service. I want to thank Joe and Kathy. They let us stay at their house last night. And Del Rio Bible Church is such a special place for us because it was here that the Lord, through just a long story, really got a hold of our hearts. And even though I'd been a Christian for about 12 years, it wasn't until I was living here and the change that God was taking me through that I decided to make him my Lord and my God. And so we will always, always hold a dear spot, a spot in our hearts for Del Rio Bible Church. My fan club, Marlene, when I was here as an executive officer in the reserve squadron, she was my partner in crime. And so it's great to see her again and her husband, Bobby. And I just want to say quickly, we ran into Jeremy and Kelly Jones. Some of you might remember them. They left last summer. They're in Tucson now. And just want to say hello, first of all, for Kelly. Jeremy's deployed, but then ask that you pray for them. She's really being stretched a little bit while he's deployed. And so if you just remember to pray for Jeremy and Kelly, that would be great. So Joe gave you a little bit of our background. And we were here 4.5 years ago before we ever set foot in Indonesia. And now we want to tell you what the Lord's been doing for the last, well, we've been there for just over 3.5 years. And we work with Mission Aviation Fellowship. This is our family. So we have 4 kids of our own, and then our son-in-law is second from the left there. And this was in an interior village that we flew into when they were all visiting for Christmas about 2 years ago. Had just an amazing, amazing experience there. For those who don't know where Indonesia is, all right, because let's be honest, not everyone does, it's right there between Australia and Southeast Asia. Well, it's part of Southeast Asia. And it's a massive country, farther across than the U.S. We live on the far right side there, which I'll show you a little bit more detail. later. It is the fourth most populated country in the world, right behind the United States. It is the largest Muslim country in the world, between 85 and 87% Muslim, depending upon who you talk to. There are literally mosques everywhere. Who's been deployed in here where they've heard the call to prayer? Steve, yeah. If you haven't ever heard it, it takes a little while to kind of get used to. Well, we got used to it because there were so many mosques and so many, it's not just the five times a day. They took every opportunity they could to really hone their skills. But in addition to Muslim, there's also Buddhists. This is one of the oldest Buddhist temples in the world. It's in Indonesia. It's called Borobudur. And Hindu, for instance, Bali, which is in Indonesia, is about 90% Hindu. And you might notice this statue. There was a whole number of these Lisa and I happened to catch when we were there. It's a little odd. And that's because animistic beliefs run very, very deep throughout Indonesia as well. So it's this kind of mixed bag of all different kinds of religions, but there is about 10% of the nation that is Christian. And our mission there is to partner with them and other Western missionaries to help spread the word of God through the country. And so MAF started there back in 1954. This was the first airplane we had there. And things were quite a bit different back then, but in some ways they're very much still the same. And you'll see some of that as I go through the presentation. So why is MAF there? Well, if you've never heard of Mission Aviation Fellowship, the aviation part might make you connect it with aviation, airplanes. We use airplanes to reach isolated places where you cannot get, in most cases, by any other means. And yes, there are still places like that, many places like that in Indonesia. That's our mission and vision statement in Bahasa Indonesia, and this is it in English. So our mission is to share the love of Christ with isolated people so they can be spiritually and physically transformed. And then our vision, which we're all part of this vision, it's just that we choose to adopt it in our organization, is that all would experience the love of Christ and be transformed by the gospel. That's why we are in Indonesia. What do we do there? So in Indonesia, we have 5 or 9 different places where we have about 52 staff families. So 52 missionary families from different countries around the world working there, and then about 140 national employees. And these are some of the places, well, all the places where we currently have staff families. And I will talk a little about each of them. On the main island of Java, our headquarters is in Jakarta, which is a very huge first world, interesting place. I imagine some of you have even been there before. But we spent our first year in Salatiga, a small town where we learned the language. This is downtown Salatiga, very different than the U.S. This was our house, a nice little house. Our neighbor, a Muslim man, was our landlord. We were the only non-Muslims living in this neighborhood, aside from one other family that were our classmates. And it was an amazing experience. Some of the best neighbors we've ever had. Really, really an eye-opening experience. This is what we did during that year. Every day we'd go to class, and usually 3 to 4 of us would sit with a Indonesian instructor and learn about the culture, the different religions, and of course the language. So we did that for a whole year before we moved to our current location, which I'll show you a little bit later. So now we have 2 operational programs. One is in Kalimantan, which is this island here, Borneo. Some of you might know it more as that name. And this is our team there. Now, there's more than just the 15 families or so that live there and their kids, because this was a family conference where we had people helping with VBS and other things as well. Beautiful, beautiful country. We have 12 airstrips there, and MAF flies into some pretty weird places. How many pilots in the room? So our limit for landing is 15 degrees of slope in the landing zone. And if you don't know what that means, most highways, if you think going down a steep hill, most highways won't be over 5 to 6% grade. And we're 15, and we can go to 25, just not in the landing zone. So it's wonderful. It helps you stop really quick. So, But this is all some scenes from Kalimantan. The people in this part of Indonesia are very Asian in appearance, and you'll see that's quite a bit different than Papua, where we have our other bases. We have two bases there and a total of 5 airplanes. We fly, for those of you that are pilots, the Quest Kodiak, which is a wonderful airplane that was designed for mission service. It was specifically built to do mission service. And we just received this amphibious Kodiak. I was talking to somebody, Matt, earlier, who just saw this before it went over to Indonesia at our headquarters in Idaho. So we have 5 airplanes in Borneo. Our main thrust there is supporting the church, serving the community, and showing compassion. And so these interior airstrips that we serve can't be reached typically by any other means except an airplane. They're starting to build infrastructure, and that's changing what we do and even where we do it. But currently, we're flying in supplies, pastors. Medical patients is a huge part of what we do. We contract with the government to provide the medical airlift throughout that whole area. And so it gives us a chance to be a first-person witness to all these people that we encounter and to share the love of Christ. We even have this house. Our teams there, you realize in a husband and wife, usually only one of them is the technical person flying or working on airplanes. The other one, non-technical, maybe taking care of kids or teaching school or whatever. And so we try to pick ministry thrusts where everybody can be involved just so we have a little bit more engagement, a little bit more gratification, a little bit more opportunity to impact. So this house was purchased a number of years ago. And when we fly patients in, last year we flew in 350 different medical flights. In Indonesian hospitals, you don't get food. You don't get someone in taking care of your room, changing your linens, your bedpan, all that. Your family does that. So if you're flown from an interior location and you don't have family with you, you don't get fed. So because family members come in and they typically don't have money, we bought this house to allow them to live there. And it's a chance for us to minister to them and witness to them through weekly visits and monthly worship services, no matter what their religion is. So it's a really neat opportunity. We also partner with this Bible school. Yeah, this is a seminary. A little different than seminaries here, but that's what you get over there. And we partner with these students to help them grow in their walk with God. We're not teaching the seminary classes. We're teaching them how to drink from the Word, because in Indonesia, being a story culture, a lot of them don't read the Bible. And so we're trying to tell them, this is how you get to know God. I mean, He works in other ways, but drink from the Word. And so we work with them to develop that habit and then learn with them how God uses it to change their lives. So that's Kalimantan. Where Lisa and I live is in Papua. That is on the island of New Guinea. For those that want a quick geography lesson, the eastern half is Papua New Guinea, or PNG. The western half is Papua Indonesia. That's not confusing at all, but we live on the Papua side. And it's also very beautiful. This is our team there at our last family conference, getting real creative with taking pictures. Very flat on most of the island, but then there is a huge mountainous ridge that runs right through the middle, towering over 16,000 feet. Even snow, right there, just south of the equator, year-round, as this picture shows that I took flying over. This is not my airplane. This is riding in a 737. And this is a typical village in the interior of Papua. Still very remote. Some areas that we're convinced have yet to be discovered. It's just that diverse and that rugged and that remote. We know for certain that we're ministering. So we provide the airlift for missionaries that live and minister in these inner areas. And we know for certain that some of them as recently as 15 years ago had no Western contact whatsoever, which that's hard to believe in today's world. So that's what we get to be part of. And Papua, where Kalimantan has 12 airstrips, Papua, because it is so rugged and because there's really no infrastructure, we have 120 airstrips that we use regularly, 200 plus that are there that we've used at one time or another. And some of them are quite entertaining. In Papua, the people are quite a bit different, as you can see in this picture. They don't look Asian at all, but they're wonderful, wonderful people. Rough on the outside, warm, warm hearts on the inside. And if you take time to get to know them, it's just a great, great people group. So we have 5 bases in Papua. Lisa and I live in that top right one that's called Sentani, and we have 10 aircraft. Also the Kodiak, and then a Grand Caravan. A Cessna Grand Caravan makes up about half of our fleet as well, including an amphibious caravan. We're waiting to take delivery of this. This is actually up in Nampa, Idaho, where our headquarters is, outside of Boise. And that airplane should be moving over to begin service on floats. Not, they're taking the nose gear off. and that'll get there in March, we hope and pray, if all goes well. So what do we do in Papua? Well, because it's so much different and so rugged, we partner a little differently. Here, there are a number of Western missionaries still trying to develop a written language, trying to learn that language, trying to disciple and preach in that language and develop a written word, the word of God, in that language for all the different people groups. 275 plus languages in Papua. And right now we're part of 34 different Bible translation projects. There's also little, if any, education in some of these places. And so the Lord put it on the hearts of some very, very wealthy Indonesians to start giving money to build schools in the interior. But again, they need an airplane to get there. So we fly in the supplies, we fly in the teachers, and this, and then we, in every place we build a school, we build a medical clinic as well. And this is a couple of our pilots with some of the doctors and teachers from these medical clinics. This is one of the schools that we support. We're building, there's six right now, we're building three new ones this next summer, and there's really no end to how many we could end up building because these people backing it are very, very, 17th wealthiest person in Indonesia is the guy that is. Here's a neat story, I'll just share this real quick. He owns the equivalent of Walmart in Indonesia. And every time you check out, you'll see our shopping experience is a little different, but in the more developed areas of Indonesia, there's a sign that says, give to the education in Papua. And these are absolutely Christian schools in a Muslim nation, and the bulk of the population, every time they check out, funds it. Isn't that cool? So, but these are some of the kids in one of the classrooms in that school. Another picture of one of the schools that's a little bit further along. Every year we add a grade to the schools, and hopefully we'll get them all up through high school. This is a Bible dedication. I mentioned 34 different translation projects. This is one of the only complete Bibles in one of these languages that's ever been finished. This was last summer. It's called the Yali language, if any of you want to learn it. And that's the pastor, and that's the German missionary that helped develop that over about 20 years. And then this is really neat. So there's still, like I mentioned, areas where the gospel is yet to reach. And this is a family with Ethnos 360, if you've ever heard of that. Our mission is about partnerships. So Ethnos 360 was New Tribes Missions before they changed their name to Ethnos 360. And this family is in the process of building this house, probably even, well, it's nighttime in Indonesia right now, but they're building this house to go and live in one of these tribes. And that's what they'll do for probably the next, as long as the Lord keeps them there, as they try to learn the language, teach the gospel, and translate the Bible. But it's only reached through aircraft. And this is an airstrip that we just opened. We opened five new airstrips last year in Papua. So it's very much an active and growing ministry. So I do have a video now that I want to show you that gives you kind of a little glimpse of how we work with the Western missionaries that we support.
Hi, we are Tim and Rebecca Ingles. We serve here in Papua, Indonesia with New Tribes Mission.
My name is Mike Wild, and I work among the Wano people. These are all my friends in the Wano tribe, and we're right now up in the hamlet of Mokundoma.
All right, today is one of those great days. We get to go in and open a brand new airstrip. They've been working on this strip for a couple years. The name of the place is Mokundoma, so we're looking forward to going in, making a first landing, and serving the New Tribes missionaries there, the Ingles and the Wild. So this is one of those awesome days for MAF.
Yeah, we've been working here with the Wano people for about 9 years now, and our goal here is to plant a church that can reach out and reach the rest of the Wano people. The people had actually, at this site where we're at now, had thought about building an airstrip and had started work maybe 10, 15 years ago, but had given up on that. And so we got that going, and over over the past 2 years the people have worked on this airstrip. We didn't do a lot of the work. It was the tribal people working with us, and we helped them a little bit with food to be able to work, but it was all our project here and we worked together on it. 2 years of work to get this thing done, and to see the plane circling by the first time, it's just surreal. It's just like it's happening, and he comes in and lands, and you just feel the emotions. You know, it's so cool to have an airplane land, touch the ground.
Main motivation for building this airstrip was so we'd have a way to take the gospel out from our area here, and we could take our teachers and our translated materials and take it out and do outreach.
His name is Liku, and he is now actually going out and ministering in other Papuan villages. And that's our goal, is to work ourselves out of a job. So that's one example of what we do. Now, I want to show you a little bit of what our life is like. We wouldn't change it, by the way. We love it. But it's a crazy place. This is a typical street crew changing light bulbs. You're laughing, I know, and you should be. But I said earlier, he does have a safety belt that goes around him and the top of the lamp, just in case the truck did drive off. So I don't know what happens after that, but... it's a crazy place. This was in Papua where we live, and then this is Jakarta. You walk into a mall in Jakarta and there's a McLaren dealership inside the mall. It's just crazy. I showed you the mosques, and this is they call it an ogo-ogo, the influences of Hinduism and Buddhism and Muslim religion. This is the town where we live, or close to it. It's the capital city called Jayapura. We live actually about 12 miles away, but it's about an hour drive. And that's because of where the airport is located. Because we're in a military town here, this is a military base in Papua. Nice, huh? Just a great TDY location, no doubt. But this is an interior airstrip where there's been some unrest, so they positioned some military there, and that's their quarters and everything else. This is a recent picture from one of the places where we have a base, in Wamena. And it's not uncommon that you see people that still wear the traditional gourd. That's all of their clothing, a gourd. So I've got a video here. This is the town we live in. It's called Sentani, and that's the airport that I typically fly out of to an interior location. And our home is right near the runway there. Transportation is a little different. And so if we can show video two, I'm going to put a little accompanying music. This is my son filming when I was driving home one night after running out and getting some dinner, I think. So it looks harrowing, but we're really not going that fast. It's just the time lapse. But it's a very, very different type of a place. And so it works. There's no rules, but it works. And then if you can go to the next video, this is the shopping experience that Lisa gets to enjoy. If you want fresh fish, well, let me back up. If you want fish or chicken.
Any fish.
And everywhere we go, we're always an anomaly because we're the only, they call us Boule, which means whitey.
Everybody calls us.
They literally call us that. Hey, Boule.
Fish.
Yeah.
Fish.
So it's always a novelty. Anyway, you can go on, Steve, to the PowerPoint again. Thank you. I really appreciate Steve working with us this morning. We had a few hiccups, and now it's all coming together. So, not all our shopping is in an open market like that, but a lot of it is. But you get a lot of good things too. We get fresh produce. It's not everything that we would want, but you know, you can see there, that's a pretty neat selection. We work a lot with the church. This is one of our teammates talking to a number of pastors about how we're going to focus together to reach areas and build churches and disciple people. And they become one of our biggest customers because they're wanting to evangelize their areas as well. And then this is a meeting with the Department of Health back in Kalimantan to develop the contract for us to do the medical airlift piece. This is actually a meeting with the Minister of Transportation. So we're involved at the highest level of government, which is really kind of neat that God allows us to do that. In fact, this is me riding a bicycle with the President of Indonesia. Yeah, we're that close. This is a picture of Lisa. She taught English as a second language to a number of the teachers from the schools I mentioned earlier, because that's their goal, is to become more fluent in English. This is a number of teachers from one of the interior locations that we try to befriend them. They serve in these places. They're from the other parts of Indonesia, and it's just as hard for them as it is for us. As a matter of fact, I would say it's even more challenging for them because they're in interior locations where they don't have, for instance, internet oftentimes, or they certainly don't have family and friends. They don't have stores. They don't have all the things that most of us are dependent on. So our goal is to partner with them and do everything we can to make them want to stay, because the livelihood of the schools and the medical clinics depend on them being there. And so it's a great, great opportunity to meet young kids whose a lot of times hearts are on fire to serve the Lord and to spur them on. And this is some of our national employees, another great opportunity outside of the airplane for us to be very intentional about how we live and minister and work with these people. I want to wrap up and talking a little bit about why Lisa and I do this. And by the way, whether you realize it or not, you're all partners with us. Del Rio Bible Church supports us every single month, and some individuals support us. And you're part of what we're doing. And I will tell you that if you had asked us to do this when we were living here or any time other than when God actually called us and took us there, we would have said no. But I believe that all of us are being called to do something that pushes us a little bit further, makes us a little bit more dependent. And that's what we were longing for, is dependence on God. And I will tell you that after living in Indonesia for 3.5 years and being the newest guy on the program, but then being put in charge of all of it, and I believe because of my Air Force background, God is making us dependent. So much so that I even think about saying, okay, can I take that prayer back? But there's a sweetness in it. There's a sweetness in being that dependent on God. So everybody's familiar with Jesus' final words, the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and earth given to him. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. There are nations, tribes, people groups, even like those in Indonesia. But this is actually the story of the entire Bible. And it's something we're all part of. If you look back in Genesis, before this, we know that Adam and Eve were made to be image bearers of Christ and to go and subdue and multiply. And then the covenant with Abraham. The one thing that really strikes me in this is God's going to bless Abraham, but why? He blesses him, and then what's the follow-on? And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So it's going beyond just receive. Are we not blessed? Are we not blessed? We are blessed beyond measure, but it's for a reason. With the blessing comes a responsibility, and I'm not to confuse things. We're saved by grace. There is no doubt about it. We are saved by grace. But Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commands. And the two commands, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself, and even the Samaritan neighbor. And so Lisa and I was about dependence. What I'm going to leave with you is, what's God calling you to do? What's he nudging on you to get out of your comfort zone and do? I don't know what it is, but I would almost guarantee that for every one of you, it's something. And to step on faith and do the next thing, there is a sweetness that comes with that that you cannot describe. And I would not have ever experienced it had we not just been foolish enough to say, okay. So whatever it is, I encourage you. We're going to stick around. I do ask that if you would be so kind and you want to keep in touch, sign up for our prayer letter out in the lobby. Just you can grab a copy of one and you can just sign up with your email there. We would love to stay in touch. If anybody has any questions, we're going to be here through lunch. Who's going to pass up free pizza, right? I'd like to just say a quick prayer to close, and then Joel will come back up with the praise team. Lord, we just give you just great thanks. What an awesome God you are, Lord. You are amazing, far, far more than we can even fathom. We thank you, Lord, that you sent Jesus for us, that we can be reconciled to you, that we can be adopted as your sons and daughters, and that makes us brothers and sisters. Would you help us, Lord, to walk in your steps? Would you help us to truly follow you, Lord, and to bring you more glory as your image bearers? And would you continue to bless Del Rio Bible Church and the family that's here and the way they minister to the community and to the base? I thank you for Del Rio Bible Church. I thank you for this opportunity, for the leadership here, and for all the body of Christ here. In Jesus' name, amen.